Good morning, everyone. So wonderful to be here with all of us, some who have been here for quite some time, some who are newly here, some who will be leaving shortly, and some who are carrying on for some endless period of time here. We're continuing our study of part two of Suzuki Roshi's book, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And from the section Study Yourself in part two, he says, Dogen Zenji said, to study Buddhism is to study ourselves. To study ourselves is to forget ourselves. When you become attached to a temporal expression of your true nature, it is necessary to talk about Buddhism, or else you will think the temporal expression is it. But this particular expression of it is not it, and yet, at the same time, it is it. For a while, this is it. For the smallest particle of time, this is it. But it is not always so. The very next instant, it is not so. Thus, this is not it. So that you will realize this fact, it is necessary to study Buddhism. But the purpose of studying Buddhism is to study ourselves and to forget ourselves. When we forget ourselves, we actually are the true activity of the big existence, or reality itself. When we realize this fact, there is no problem whatsoever in this world, and we can enjoy our life without feeling any difficulties. The purpose of our practice is to be aware of this fact. So I had quite a bit of difficulty figuring out what I wanted to use for source material for this talk, and I had read through this section a couple of times already, and this did not really strike me particularly. I had not highlighted it as something that I might use, and somehow on my third pass through here, this leapt out at me and seemed quite important and challenging at the same time. I've spent a lot of time studying these particular words of Dogen, which appear in his famous Genjo koan. And Suzuki Roshi has a certain take on this that I think he is expressing here that is quite lovely and deep, and I wanted to try and share that with you. So the Dogen thing, to study the way, is to study ourselves, and to study ourselves is to forget ourselves. And Suzuki says, when you become attached to a temporal expression of your true nature, it is necessary to talk about Buddhism, or else you will think the temporal expression is it. So I think this kind of answers a question that came up a couple of evenings ago, I guess. I think maybe it was Ray that brought this up about, you know, why do we yammer on about this Buddhism thing. Wouldn't it be a lot easier? I mean, we're not supposed to have any gaining idea here, right? So if you guys just wouldn't talk about this stuff, it would be a lot easier to just be satisfied with my ordinary experience, right? And then you go talking about, you know, these things that sound so special, and when they don't show up for me, it makes me feel like... Ed Ray didn't say all this. I'm extending what I think he was talking about. It makes me feel like I'm missing something, you know, and I get this gaining idea. And Suzuki talks endlessly about no gaining idea, you know, right? Just be with what's here. Just cook. Just walk. Just whatever it is that is you're doing, just do it and don't worry about anything else. Just be here now. And yet here he is saying, you know, that we do actually need to talk about Buddhism, about Buddha nature, about something other than just our everyday hardening of what we think we are. Because I think that's what he's pointing to here, is, you know, that if we don't really look into the matter, we think we know who we are, and we see these patterns arise, and we think, ah, you know, this is me, these patterns, you know, that I see this over and over again, I'm stuck in this thing, and this thing that I'm feeling cannot be it. Please don't tell me that this thing is all it's ever going to be, is the way I feel right now, right? And I just have to, like, be okay with it, or get used to it, or what do I do with this, right? I don't want this. Don't you understand? I don't want it to be like this. And so we study Buddhism, right? And hopefully this study helps us see our attachment to the specific ideas, these thoughts about ourselves, these concepts that we create. Maybe there's something here that can actually help with that. So he says, so this particular expression of it is not it. So this this thing that is here right now, hold on a second, I gotta... So he says, but this particular expression of it is not it. And yet, at the same time, it is it. For a while, this is it. For the smallest particle of time, this is it. But it is not always so. The very next instant, it is not so. Thus, this is not it. And I think this is, it's not, but it's pointing to something really deep here, I think, right? So in the moment that we see ourselves caught in how we are, right? This moment of being right here in this familiar place is exactly where we are. And this is the Buddha expressing itself in the form of exactly me stuck in this place that I don't want to be. Right? But in the very next instant, right, we've turned that experience into a concept, into an idea of what we are, a seeing of a pattern, and we cling to this sense of a small self, and we freeze that moment, and we're stuck in it because we're not open to the ever changing reality of who we are. I don't know about you, but I have this experience of being like 1,000 different people a day. You know, sometimes I'm stuck in this old pattern that I hate, and I go, oh my God, it's always like this. And then at other times during the day, it's not like that at all. I'm a totally different person, and that thing doesn't even really bother me right now. Right? But we have these ideas that solidify into, oh my God, this is the true me when I feel like this, right? And I'm just stuck here, and I'll always be stuck here. And if it's just about being stuck here, I'm going to go play ping pong or watch TV or something. Right? It'd be better than sitting here and staring at it, right? And yet we come here, right? And we see these patterns arise. So he says, but the purpose of studying Buddhism is to study ourselves and to forget ourselves. When we forget ourselves, we actually are the true activity of the big existence, or reality itself. Now, I think there's a couple of ways to hear this, right? So one way I hear this is as something very important and special, this big existence, the true activity of big existence, or reality itself, is being expressed as me, my small self right here. How wonderful. And in the piece that we read from Dogen, where he's talking about everyday mind, right? Just ordinary, everyday mind, nothing special at all. And yet, he's talking about the boundless sky going and the entire earth coming, opening the gate of the inner chamber, and thousands of gates and myriads of doors open and close all at once. It's like a voice from the deep. And how wonderful, right? For me, I have this feeling of deep spiritual, the source, this Buddha nature arising up out of who knows what, as the entire universe is the true human body, my true human body. And yet, what he's talking about here is our ordinary, everyday mind. And this is the way that this Buddha nature is manifesting itself in this moment. It's just my ordinary, everyday mind that keeps chattering in my head. And I'm doing quite ordinary things. This is everyday mind. Not special at all. Just this, in this moment. And when we realize this fact, there is no problem whatsoever in this world, and we can enjoy our life without any feelings of difficulties. purpose of our practice is to be aware of this fact. All right, so here's a major hook here, right? About when we realize this, there is no problem whatsoever in the world, and we can enjoy our life without feeling any difficulties. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But I don't think he's talking about the absence of problems and difficulties. He says elsewhere, I'm not exactly sure where, that problems are our life. This is it. Struggles and problems, and of course great joy and love and caring and compassion, but struggle and problems, and this is not something that's actually going to end while we're alive or even after we're gone. This will continue to be life. But it's not actually a problem. This is the universe universing in the form of us. How wonderful. How wonderful. Thank you. So, we'll have our Dharma dialogue.
If I remember correctly, that Dogen passage goes on to a third point, which is to forget the self is to be actualized by the 10,000 things, and then there are other translations of that. And that's my favorite part. So I'm inviting you to talk about the 10,000 things in the context of this wonderful engagement you've been in with Shunryu Suzuki and Dogen.
Okay, so this is going a little further here, but so there's a lot of different ways that we can engage with the self, right? The study of the self. So one way is to study our small self, right? The thoughts that we meet as we sit on the cushion, and the body that is sitting here. But another way is to study the self in the form of everything, right? And everything around us is the self, and others are the self, other people. To study others in the form of the self, I think, is quite a useful thing. And when we're not quite so focused on the thoughts of this small self, and make space for others, both people and you know, grasses and trees and fences and walls, to come forward and teach us a little Buddhism. What a wonderful thing.
And I think Suzuki, he doesn't quote that third thing, but when he says that when we forget the self is universal life. Universal life is not me as opposed to the 10,000 things, but the 10,000 things are my life. So no longer stuck on one side or the other, no inside, outside. So everything is arrived here in this instant. And this is the great freedom, the great enjoyment. So interesting that he doesn't use the third phrase, but this universal life is the 10,000 things, our universal self, always selfing.
And a third thing to say about this is that in the first part, to study the way, there really is an effort. We've been talking about, you know, bringing some energy to our practice, and Suzuki Roshi really encourages that, and Dogen does, to study the way, study self. When the self drops away, then that effort also drops away. There's just receiving. And so there's... But the receiving really can't happen until we've sort of set up these conditions by studying the self. And then the fourth comment is from you. I'm wondering what you love about that line.
Pretty much, you know, it would be restating what you just said, what you added to what David said. That sense of no effort needed anymore, however this process started. And this sense, too, that the 10,000, it's no longer studying. You know, for me, it really is being actualized by them. The 10,000
yes,
things
right.
have this, their own energy. And it's and then it's wonderful to be embraced and nurtured in my practice by that.
Yeah. And there's another line later in the Genjo Koan where he talks about the difference between delusion and awakening, saying delusion is going out to the 10,000 things and the 10,000 things being received as awakening. Again, it gets a little dualistic, but I think it affirms what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Seamus.
I really like hearing study the self by forgetting the self. And the part of me that might have been a lawyer or the original scientist that opened up a human body was very excited. And then I had the thought, well, I don't know if I get anything. And then it was, how can I have any experience of anything other than through the self?
Where is this self?
Where
is the self that you're experiencing it through?
Say that again.
Where is the self that you are experiencing this through?
Well, maybe that's it. I don't know. So if I'm going to study the self, there needs to be a self.
Are you sure?
Or forget. And if I'm going to forget the self, there needs to be.
Are you sure about
no,
that?
No. I'm not sure of anything at all.
Right, so we're using these words to undermine the words.
Yeah.
Because you can get caught, well, to study, I have to have a self. Well, really? To walk, I have to have a self. Well, where is the self outside of the foot that's going forward? Well, I have some idea, but where, when you walk, can you find anyone who is doing the walking?
And this is part of the I don't know what we might call it, is a little bit of a bait and switch. There's a famous koan where a student comes to a Zen teacher desperate, please relieve me of my suffering, please, you know, and the teacher says, show me this and I will take it away from you. So show this to me and I will take it away from you. Of course, you can't, right? So, and that's where David was emulating. It was actually Bodhidharma. The first Chinese ancestor was Indian. So this quality of studying the self, if we look and we look and we look, and the student says, I've looked and I've looked and I've looked, and I can't find it, that looking and looking and looking is a part of the process. And there's a certain point when we realize, there's nothing here that's substantial. We might realize it in our mind. It might be just a whole body, heart, mind experience. But at that moment, that's what Dogen's pointing to, the dropping away of self and other, dropping away of body and mind. It happens, but first we have to look. We have to look thoroughly. We have to never give up. And then something reveals itself, which is, oh, I've been looking, as we sometimes say, to the south to find the North Star. So don't even try to think about it. I could see your mind.
Truly.
but you know, it's actually a clear path, Seamus. It's wonderful. Studying the self, as Steve was talking about, studying the self, and we talk about this. So boredom arises, agitation arises. What is this? What is this? Could this be the Buddha? That's the studying the self. And then there's a certain point where it's no longer relevant. It's a wonderful feeling. Then we'll grab onto it. And then, so this isn't an A, B, C, D process. It's an A, B, A, C, B, C, A, B. It just keeps going and going and going. And the last line of this wonderful passage from Dogen is that, and then it continues endlessly. As we've been saying, whether or not we know it. So stay with studying the self until something is revealed and exposed. And then see what happens. Don't stop the searching.
It's my advice. Music.
Yeah.
It's music.
It's music. Thank you.
And there's certainly a concept of self, right? And it's very vivid, this idea of me as this small self. And this is the very thing, I think, that Buddhism is trying to help rip away from us, right? We think we need this small self and these concepts. And what if we, were free to investigate otherwise?
Right, and this is the arising of the temporal self, that we think this is true, this is me. And I love how he does that sneaky Zen teacher thing of it is and it isn't. So it is you, and it's not you. This momentary appearing of the temporal, the absolute universal life, completely manifest in this instant, in each one of us, effortlessly. But only for the smallest increment of time, and then that vanishes, never to be seen again. And it appears in the next form. Self after self, life after life, birth and death, 27,000 times a second, he says in one place. This flashing.
It really helps me to, it just happens, to think of the planet, nature, whatever you want to call it. I kept having this image of the tide. The tide comes in, the tide goes out, and there's all sorts of things in the tide pools. And, the suggestion being made now is like, don't think about it. Like, do they think, oh shit, the tide's going out? The birds are coming, or anything, like rings of a tree. I know it sounds so schmaltzy, but like if we are the world and we are the universe, the body of the Dharma, like we're no different. There's no way that we can be different. It's not, and that's like the whole thing of thinking you're different, like thinking I'm different, then including the tree dying and falling down, but the tide pools, I kept thinking of the, and how necessary it all is, and there's so much going on, that the doors, myriads opening and closing, when you think of the ocean, there's so much going on, you can't even hold it all.
And that's true everywhere, right?
Yeah.
There's so much going on, and our little brains are trying to comprehend stuff and figure it all out. And just there's some way that this goes back to Alan's point, the 10,000 things. That's a Chinese, fancy Chinese way of saying everything. There's more than 10,000. Constantly, constantly, constantly. And to recognize, as you're saying, that we are not separate from all that. But when we're the little guy in the tide pool going, oh no, oh no, shit, the tide's going out, then we suddenly cohere as a self. Right. And that's an interesting moment, too. It's not that that's problematic, it's just what happens. But then we, once again, see, oh, wait, maybe not so concrete, so defined. Yeah, beautiful point. That's beautifully said, too.
And I was thinking about these 10,000 doors opening and closing. I was reading a book that was looking at scientific research on the brain and saying that there are, one estimate, 10 billion bits of input into the brain per second. So 10 billion doors, out of which we can roughly be aware of about 10 to 15. That we can perceive with our awareness. So 10 billion operating, and we think we're multitasking when we're doing three things. So there is all of this effortless functioning going on, totally beneath our awareness. This the beauty of it is extraordinary. Meanwhile, I'm trying to figure out, do I want to have one scoop or two of the fruit on my oatmeal? I mean, I think I'm really dealing with matters of the universe while the 10 billion things are just going along. Where could my oatmeal? So we are sustained by that, by the 10,000 things. Whether and when we know we are sustained by that, there is a beauty and a indescribable joy that is such a relief, right? That, oh, all along we have not been separate.
It's the same relief that you see with well, the sustaining you're talking about. Everything is happening in order to sustain everything else anyway.
Right, exactly.
If you just look for a little while,
yeah, you see that.
This if you keep looking, it sustains you.
Right, exactly.
And you know, as you're both talking about this, the great joy that arises also has a, for me anyway, a taste of grief and sadness, because you know it's like. I don't know, it's a melting quality. It's like, it's so hard for my little mind to believe it. Mm-hmm. And then there it is right in front of me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's the same feeling when hearing beautiful music or seeing great art, reading a wonderful poem. There's this quality of, right? It's joy and sorrow mixed, you know, for our little limited views. The 10 or 15 things.
Thanks.
I'm connecting the moment-to-moment, the moment-to-moment shifting of that with the fruits of our effort, the fruits of the study. And we'd like to hear some reflection on your part, because the thinking when you're standing and wondering how many scoops of fruit, those are moment-to-moment choices or responses that we make, that we have, and we do that thousands of times in the day. So in my mind, the fruit of the study of the self could make a difference. I don't know how many scoops of fruit, but maybe in other realms. So
yeah,
it seems like a benefit to that, making the effort to having that study.
I think one important to name that it's stewed fruits of practice we're talking about.
Well, there's
I guess it might. There is the cantaloupe. So all right, there is a So let me. I take that back. We are talking, but I think you're right to the point, Dave. That our practice is to be present in the moment, and we are practicing that. So whatever we meet, we can be as present and as wholeheartedly follow whatever needs to be followed. Sometimes we're very clear, other times we don't know. But this teaching is that we can clarify our life So we can become more skillful and discerning and useful to the world. So we're not getting in our way as much.
Right.
And just be present. Thing at problem after problem, one scoop, two scoops, then there's the yogurt. You know, it's just endless. You know, just got through this.
Let alone global warming.
I know, really, really.
But plastic containers.
But you're right to the point that this is about life. This is about meeting finding some greater wisdom, not just the little central headquarters that's about itself.
Me.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well said.
And you know, there's a connection here to the other teaching of one continuous mistake. So if there really are 10 billion things, and I actually think that's a low estimate, and we can only perceive the 10 to 15, which I think is the highest. then, you know, moving into the world, we are going to screw things up because we just we certainly have. And you know, Suzuki Roshi quotes this this teaching of Dogen on one continuous mistake. And so I think the other moment-to-moment thing, we do get more skillful. We enter the world maybe kinder, more compassionate, with more balance, and with a kind of deep humility about no matter how kind we get, how compassionate, how wise, we're going to fuck things up. Just we are. Yeah. And so then there's this process of repentance and atonement constantly. So all these teachings from everywhere, the precepts and this and that, and the moment to moment, and the 10,000, they're also interconnected, right? Mm-hmm. And you get that.
Yeah.
And that's why we sometimes say there's just this one thing. So I wonder if that's a good place to stop.